golden rule of Paul and of Jesus, if we want to, however we want to be treated, that's how we should act. That's basically what it says. We get to decide. We get to decide how other people are going to treat us. Isn't that interesting? What have you decided? Have you decided how you want people to treat you? Barry's going, yes. Some of us are saying yes. One of the things I thought about was, if you look at that and think about it, I want to be treated with respect. And I haven't always been, but at times I have. And it's nice when you get treated with respect, because when people respect you and you respect other people, you're following Jesus' golden rule, because you're going to be judged according to how you judge other people. It's interesting to look at and say, well, okay, what does respect mean, to respect somebody? So I went online. Doing my homework, I went online, I looked up, and it's like, okay, what is respect? And one of the interesting things was, there's a site, and it's called, I forget what, but it's where people put in their idea, what they think about what the word means. And so I wrote 30 of these down, so that'll be my whole talk. No. It says, it means valuing others' point of view. It means being open to being wrong. It means accepting people as they are. It means not dumping on someone just because you're having a bad day. It means being polite and kind always, because being unkind is not negotiable. It means not dismissing people because they're different from you. It means not gossiping about people or spreading lies. That the guy who total lack of respect when he canceled our Friday night date on the last minute. And then there was a really interesting one. It means that I'm not a blank, you blank blank. Yeah, okay, that's a way to show respect. Call somebody a blank blank because they didn't talk to you right. But respect basically means holding another person in high regard and then treating them accordingly and finding value in them. So if you want to be respected, you have to respect other people, and it can become your goal in life to live the golden rule, treating others as you want to be treated. And it even goes one step farther than that. In 1 Peter 2:17, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. That's not a suggestion. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what it says, right? Show proper respect to everybody. And so you put them in high regard and you treat them according to that. But sometimes that's hard to do. And if we go back and we look at the day you were born, you came out and the doctor picked you up and smacked you, you didn't show him any respect. You cried at him. It's like, yeah, I'm going to tell the people in child services that you're abusing me. Okay, but you're not. I mean, I worked in the hospital enough to know that they need a good smack. Kind of, sort of. If they don't cry, we get mad at them. It's like, come on, scream. Okay, so that's respect. But when they're toddlers, they don't get any better. Toddlers don't. Have you ever noticed toddlers do not respect each other? They steal each other's toys, the ice cream, whatever they can get away with, they get away with, right? And then you get into junior high. I mean, how many junior high, when you were in junior high, did you show a lot of respect to your teachers who told you what you had to do? Or your parents who said how you should live? Sometimes we don't. We listen, but we kind of go do what we want to do. How many of you did what you want to do anyway? I was kind of rebellious. Yeah, so it was me. But we learn over time. It's a learned process. But the thing I had to struggle with is, okay, it says respect everyone at all times. But there are people I don't like. There are people I think are jerks. How do you respect Hitler? It's a struggle. How do you respect them? Well, I'm going to tell you. First, and if you get this one down, it's the foundation for everything else, okay? The first thing we need to do is we need to look at them as people who, as image bearers. We need to look at people as image bearers. What does that mean? We're image bearers of the Most High God. If you go to Genesis and you read the story of creation, when it gets to when God created us, what does it say? Let us make man in our image. So it says that God created male and female in God's image. God's every bit as much male as he is female. And see, and it's easiest to say he because it's like it, you know, something like that. But respect, we are created in God's image. And there's not one person you will ever meet or have ever met who was not created in God's image. Not one of them. And so we're supposed to treat each other with respect because we are created in God's image. Do we disrespect God? Hopefully not. But times we do. Sometimes when we're in service and our phones go off and we have to run and answer our phone. Well, we ask you to turn your phone off. If you don't and you interrupt the whole thing, you're being disrespectful to God and everybody else here. You're being disrespectful. And so we're made in the image of God. And if there's one thing that God truly loves, that's people. That's people. God loves Hitler every bit as much as he loves me and you. Hitler can be off track, but the reality is he's only one redemptive prayer away from being your spiritual brother or sister. You got to yell, I'm deaf. Yeah, so let me turn this thing off because it's going to drive me crazier. The fan's going to drive me crazier. Anyway, so we're all created in the image of God and in the likeness of God. And so we have to remember that everybody we meet is created in the image of God. And if we can do that, it's going to set the foundation for our lives in respecting other people, even people we don't like. Because like I said, they're just that one prayer away from being our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's what we need to do. So to win everybody we need to interact with, when we talk to them, that's the other part. When we talk to them, treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. And it's how we perceive people. Excuse me. Now, in the campaign that's been going on, there have been suggestions that we should stop immigrants and all that kind of stuff. And I saw a report on Canada, and Canada has brought in into their country 27 million refugees. They don't see them as liabilities. They see them as assets. And they're looking to bring in more. So it's how we look at them. Do we see that person as an asset? Do we see them as not? The other thing that we need to do, the second thing, is we can differ without demonizing the other person. Have you ever had somebody that you had to agree to disagree with? And you get in debates with them, you get in talks with them, you're completely polarized, you're at opposite ends. I mean, I know people in my life that they're way over there from where I am, but it doesn't mean that I have to demonize them or they have to demonize me. We can get in very, very, very spirited debates without drawing blood. We can agree to disagree. And it's a learned skill. I have people in my life that, like I said, we're at this, and you know, sometimes we get together and we'll get in very heated discussions about stuff. And we'll walk away and we both still what we believe. And it's okay. It's okay. Because I've realized he doesn't have to believe what I believe. I don't have to believe what he believes. Sometimes we find a place in the middle, or here, or there, but it's okay. We're still very good friends. Years ago, how many of you remember who Condoleezza Rice? She was the Secretary of State. She was in a debate with two gentlemen, and at the beginning of the debate, it was very civil. But as it went on, the two men got more verbal and more accusing and more, and she remained very calm. And when they'd have a discussion, she would start off whatever she was going to say. She would say, gentlemen, with all due respect. And then she would talk. And after the summit she was at, the pastor had seen her in this other debate, asked her, he says, you know, she says, I've taken that on myself. And she told him, she said, the reason I do that, it's my 2-second prayer to help me maintain my mouth and sanity. Taking 2 seconds before each time to stop and say, with all due respect, and then respecting. And she remained calm while everybody else went off the deep end. But again, we can learn to agree, to disagree agreeably. It's a learned behavior. Third, believe the best of everybody. Believe the best of everybody. There's got to be a good side. Got to be a good side to them. Years and years and years ago, back when in the dark ages, when I was young, it would be mid-60s, maybe just a little bit longer, about 68. The church I was going to, T.O. Smith was our young adult leaders, and T.O. Smith was the superintendent of all of the Utah school districts. He was the superintendent over the schools. And he had an opportunity to go to Russia. And, you know, we hear all these things about the Russian people during the Cold War and all the bad things, that, you know, all this, that, and the other. And so they got over there, and they went to meetings with educational people. And in those meetings, there was always some government people sitting there listening to make sure that the people that they talked to said the right things. And so that was like, when that started, it was like, oh, this is going to be really good. But what happened was at night, they were allowed to go on their own because they were talking to just people. And so he went out for a walk that night. He ran into 3 young ladies that were on their way, and he was kind of lost. And so he asked for some direction, and they spoke English. And they said, you're an American, aren't you? And he said, yeah. She says, well, he says, we're going to an underground Bible study. Do you want to go? And he said, well, he says, I've got something I have to do, but thanks for the invitation. So we talked with them for a little while. And what they told us is that when the government officials were here, it was a whole different thing because they were sitting there listening to what Richard said to make sure that Richard said it right, the way they wanted it said. But when the average people were there and Richard wasn't sitting there in the thing, they were very different. He says, they were just like us. Imagine that. They were just like us. And so it's so easy to not believe in people, but that's the one thing you have to say. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We need to love people, respect them, and believe the best of them, because that's the way we get rid of all this separation stuff. Fourth, respectful people don't interrupt others, and they don't dominate the conversation. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you can't get a word in edgewise? Have you ever been in a conversation where somebody can't get a word in edgewise with you because you don't stop talking? Or
when they interrupt you and try to finish your sentence for you because they think they know where you're going.
Right, yeah, they interrupt you and finish talking for you. Yeah. I do that. No, I know. I can do that at times. But that's the thing. You don't dominate. In fact, if you're that respectful person, what you do is you actually get to the end of it and you say, okay, now I've had my say. I want to hear what you have to think about it. Respectful people actually encourage the other people to talk so they can hear what they have to say. I was at a conference one time and a pastor was this, actually he was a Muslim became Christian gentleman was there, and he was talking about how he became a Christian. And a pastor was at a meeting, and he was there, and they introduced him, and he was a Muslim. And the pastor says, well, I would like to get together with you. I don't know a whole lot about, you know, Islam, and I'd like you to teach me. And he says, I thought, yeah, he's just going to be here to try and convert me to be a Christian. But they got together, and the pastor was genuinely interested in what they had to say. And he listened intently. He asked questions. Didn't talk at all about Christianity. Nothing. And they had several meetings. And then finally in one of the meetings, the guy goes, look, he says, I've told you all about my beliefs. He says, but you haven't told me anything about yours. He says, well, I told you I wanted to learn about yours. So I wasn't going to butt in and impose. And so he listened and became a Christian because the other person showed him respect and listened and didn't dominate the talk. And so you don't do that, okay? The other thing that respectful people do is they get rid of incendiary or trigger words in their vocabulary. Things that can set people off and get them on edge. Do you have words that bug you, that just push your buttons? I know Scott does. And every once in a while, I open my mouth and I hit one of those buttons and it's like, oh, I should not have said that. And I have to apologize. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And so I have certain words that I've had to sit down and think about and say, okay, I can't use these words in our conversation. But in general, there are words that we have in our language that we should not be using because they push people's buttons. They insult people. They're unkind words. And so we shouldn't use those words to that person or about that person.
Plus, there are certain words that may have one meaning to you and may have a different meaning to the person you're speaking to.
Right.
And they take it completely wrong.
Right, yeah. Just because I think it's one thing doesn't mean it is, yeah.
So I said I'm not sure what you heard.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, you can, you know, do all kinds of things. Because, and you know, what do you do in those times? You clarify. Okay, now, this is what I understood you to say. Is that what you really meant? You can clarify. But you get in there, but there's certain words, okay? Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word stirs up anger. And like I said, with Scott and I, I can say some words and it's like, whoa. And when I was younger, I had a mouth like a sailor. I swore like crazy. Anybody else do that when they was younger? Swore like crazy. So I don't like swearing. And I heard an interesting comment one time. It says, swearing is a weak mind's effort to make a statement powerfully. And it's like, it's true. And when I look at movies, one of the things I look for in the back, the rating. What is it rated for? And if it says language throughout, I don't rent it. I don't get it. Because that plants the seeds back in my head to start saying the same things again. It's happened, and it shouldn't have. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, every time we open our mouth and talk, it should be of a benefit of some kind, not just empty words. But that makes us stop and think, doesn't it? And I don't like to think before I talk sometimes, or that's the way it seems. Now, I know that some of you and I have had some words sometimes, but respectfully, I hope, kind of, most of the time. You look at it, and if you look at what's going on in the debates and the political stuff, and haven't all of you heard about that there's an election going on? Yeah, you know, I don't think too many people have not heard about it. But on both sides, there have been some really nasty things said. And for some reason, it seems okay to be politically incorrect this year. I mean, I've gone, in my 70 years, I've gone through a lot of elections. And this has got to be the strangest one I've ever experienced. Is that you too, Glade? It's just like, whoa. I mean, I say that because Glade and I are almost the same age. We've been through a lot of elections. And we've watched a lot of debates. And we've watched a lot of things take place. And this has got to be the weirdest one. Because there's a lot of those incendiary words that are thrown out there about people. It's spread into us. And so it's in our personal talk. It's in debates, in social media. How many of you have noticed that in social media has gotten really out of control? It's kind of like a war zone without any rules. And a lot of social media out there just tearing people apart. And unfortunately, a lot of us get caught up in that. And it's easy to. and start doing that. We get into another one down here before a little farther. But one of the things that we need to do to respect others, we need to treat each other courteously. We need to be polite. I was going into the bank the other day, and a little old lady was coming out. She held the door for me. It's like, wait a minute, you got this backwards. That's why I'm supposed to hold the door for you. But she held the door for me. And one of the things that you show respect is by being courteous to people. And respectful people, they notice people that other people don't notice. They notice the waitress or the waiter. They notice the door person. They notice the salesperson. And they're kind and they're considerate to them because they realize that this person, even though they're taking my order, they're a child of God. And they deserve respect just as much as anybody else. And so respectful people notice those people and they're courteous to them and they respect them and they hold the door. And you can see them on airplanes. They're the people that are helping people get their luggage in the overhead compartment, even if it won't fit. They're trying. They're courteous to other people. They let somebody else go first. Also, one of the things that drive me crazy is people running red lights. I mean, that's how I got in my car wreck. Somebody ran a red light and slammed into me. And ever since that happened, I've been noticing more and more people running red lights. You know, just This number seven is no stereotyping. Now, we would never do that, would we? Because we've been stereotyped so much all of our lives. But, you know, we do that. And no matter how tempting it is, we can't do it. Because it's degrading the other person. I thought about this and I thought back when, you know, all through the years of things. And the different times that we told the jokes that were degrading. When I was real young, it was the Polacks. When I was on my mission up in Canada, it was the Newfies. That's Canadians, Newfoundland. So it was the degrading them. How many of you heard degrading stories about us? Oh, come on. And we can't do it because we can do all kinds of stereotypes that are just degrading. And we can't do that because it's non-respectful of the other person. We even do it to ourselves. You know, but that's okay because it's us. Is it really okay because it's us? No. So, you know, you got those things. And so we have to remember that those people and treat them as individuals, not as a mass. You can make a joke, I mean, the blonde jokes, there used to be those things. They're degrading and they're not there. The other one we need to do as courteous people, we need to apologize quickly. If you know you made a mistake, apologize quickly. Don't let it go on. Scripture says, don't go to bed angry. Well, if you made a mistake, say so. When I push those buttons on Scott and he gets angry, I apologize right away. We had a thing the other day and he thought I was saying something that I wasn't. And I said, whoa, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. This is what I meant by what I said. You got the wrong idea. This is what I meant. I was trying to take pressure off of you, not put it on you. And he went, oh, okay. So we talked about it. We worked it out. But we need to apologize often. We need to say those two words that are really, really, really hard. Do you know what they are?
I'm sorry.
Will you forgive me? You can make it five. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Because it doesn't do any good. And some people won't say they're sorry. They won't. They won't do it. Number nine, we have to be careful when we form opinions. Have you ever met somebody that's real opinionated? Or we hear something and we instantly inform an opinion on it. But we haven't heard both sides of the situation yet. And one of the things the news does is as soon as something happens, they want you to get an opinion. I've had the newspaper call me and say, what do you think about this? I had to tell them, I haven't heard anything about it, so I can't tell you. Well, this is what it is. And then they try to tell me and say, I want you to make an opinion. It's like, I can't make an opinion. I haven't heard both sides of it yet. But it's real easy to do that, isn't it? Especially with the news. It was interesting. I was watching the news the other night, and they were talking about the candidates and everything that's going on. And one of the people they were talking says, "And what has the media done to promote all of this?" And the anchor had to say, "I think we're going to have to take some really hard looks in the mirror when it's all over. Really hard looks in the mirror and say, how did we add to this problem? How did we add to that?" And so we don't have to make really quick opinions. We can make opinions slowly, prayerfully, and ask God to get in there. Like Glade was saying, get God involved in it, you know, and make your opinion carefully. And the other thing, if you make an opinion on something and other data comes up, what do? You are allowed to change your opinion. Just because you said something one time based on what information you had doesn't mean you have to stay there. You can change your opinion. I have. And the last one, respectful people are prompt and faithful. I hate being late. Drives me crazy. I think I got it from my dad. My dad had to be to work at 8 o'clock. Every day he got to his job at 7:30. They had a break room. He went in the break room, sat and had a cup of coffee, read the paper, chatted with people that were there, and was right there to punch in at 8 o'clock. Scott doesn't mind being late for certain things. Drives me crazy. When he was in California taking care of his mother, I'd like to go down there, but I'd like to go to church. It started at 11 o'clock. He would be... They'll start getting ready at 11 to go. And it was like, it starts at 11. Well, we can still get there. And it's like, what's the point? It's half over by the time we get there. And you can never understand that. And so for certain things, you know, and that's just something that's, he's been that way. His mother says he's been that way all of his life. She's one of the people like me. She hates being late. And so when it got to the point where he had to run her around and take her to her AA meetings and stuff like that, he had to learn that mom does not like to be late. Okay. So if you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. If you're going to be someplace, you need to be someplace at a certain time, get there. If you're going to have a meeting, get there on time. Our meeting's supposed to start at 11 o'clock. What does it say if we start at 11:15? One, we're not prepared. And two, what we're doing isn't important enough to be on time. Or if you show up late, it says that your time is more valuable than ours. That your time is more important. So show respect. If you say you're going to do it, do it. You sign up for something, a community function. Kelsey and I were talking downstairs. They had a transgender... revolution... Saturday down at the Leonardo. And at the last minute, about 10, 15 minutes before it was supposed to start, some of the people who were supposed to be doing presentations canceled or didn't show up. Total disrespect for the people that were attending the meeting. And they came to Kelsey and said, "Can you do the makeup one?" And Kelsey didn't have any makeup there. She just had skincare products, so she couldn't. But total disrespect. And we need to learn to have the respect for other people that we want to have. And be prepared. I've gone to lots of different conferences at times, and one of the ones I went to was back at Willow Creek in Chicago. There were over 3,000 people at this conference, and they provided lunch. And so when it came time for the lunch break, I thought, well, you know, this is going to take a while. I'll go to the bookstore and see what's going on. So I got up and I went upstairs to the balcony where the bookstore was. And I looked out and there was the line going the whole down the way. I looked at a couple of things. I looked back up and the line was gone. I was like, what? They had set this thing up and they were so fast as you could walk down the aisle, your lunch was there. They had signs, this, you know, vegetarians down here, chicken here, and walk through. And literally in 15 minutes, they had 3,000 people sat down eating lunch. They knew we were coming. They were prepared for us. They were respectful of us. So the last slide I think we have up there It has a list of all 10 of the things that I just went over. And if you get out your little scripture thing that's in your handout, this list is at the bottom of it. So what I want, why I put that on there, I want you to look at it. Not right. You can, well, you can look at it now if you want to. But especially when you get home, look at it and say, okay, do I need to work in some area of this? Are there some areas in my life where I'm not being respectful? Are there some things that I need to work on? You know, maybe I don't always believe the best in people. Sometimes I forget that they're the image bearer of God Almighty. They were created in God's image. And again, sometimes, like I say, there's people that I struggle with and respect, showing them respect because they, my mind wants to say they don't deserve it. But they were created in the image of God. They're image bearers of God. We all deserve respect. Even if we don't agree with the person, we can show them respect because they are created in the image of God. And again, if we show them the proper respect, they may become followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And so we do that. Y'all ready to make a commitment? Okay, I'm going to read this. I want you to repeat it after me, okay? You ready? It's not going to be up there. I forgot to put it up there. Darn. Out of lack of respect, I forgot to put it up there. Okay? Ready? I make a fresh commitment to respect everyone always. Okay, one more time. I make a fresh commitment to respect everyone always. Can you do it? You maybe need to catch yourself once in a while. Okay? Now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? What is it you're trying to tell me? Is there something here I need to work on? Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you that you created us in your image to show us how special we are to you. And Lord, may we live up to that image. Lord, we've got a list here of areas in which we can use, things we can do to show proper respect for the people around us, even if we don't agree with them, even if we don't understand them. They're your children, Lord. You love them. You care about them. You want the best for them. And Lord, maybe we're that connection that's going to reach them. Maybe we're going to be the ones that help them find you and bring them into a loving relationship with you. And Lord, sometimes our relationship with you isn't always the best. And so, Lord, I ask you to help us to bring it into line with your thinking and your way, to love people, to reach out to them, to just care about them, Lord, to notice those people that are unnoticeable. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.